What is the relationship of time to death? You understand me? One has lived 10 years, 50 years, or 8 years, or 100 years, a life that has been painful, anxious, and all the rest of it, an empty life, a wasted life, and that life comes to an end, both biologically and psychologically. I'm going to go into all this. And one clings to the known and avoids the unknown. The known suffering, the known pain, the known pleasure, the known fears. One clings to all that, which you call living. And one is frightened to let go all that which we have to do when death comes. So there is the interval between the living and the dying, the process of time. Then, what is it that dies? Biologically, we have lived so unintelligently, because biologically, physically, the body has its own intelligence. I don't know if you know anything about all, if you have worked at it. It has its own intelligence. If you leave it, if you don't spoil it through taste, through gluttony, through smoke, drink, drugs, and all the rest of the business that one goes through, if you don't go through that, that is through taste, habit, custom, tradition, then the body has its own intelligence. That body organically dies, the organ dies. We know that. But also, we say there is something me, which is me, must continue. Because after all, I've collected so much experience. I want to finish the book before I die. I must be successful. Give me another few more years. And so on, so on. So what is it that is me that says I don't want to die? I must have some kind of continuity. You understand? This is our craving right through life. From the ancient days, from the Egyptians down to the present day, and before the Egyptians, the ancient Egyptians, not modern Egypt, this has been the problem. A continuity and an ending. The desire, the immense drive to continue. My pleasure, I want it fulfilled tomorrow. When you say there is no tomorrow, it becomes a tremendous despair, you understand? So, there is death. So we have to investigate together, not accepting authority, because I am not your authority or your guru, or I don't, to me gurus are dangerous in spiritual life. You have to find out for yourself, what is it that is me, how it came into being, why it has taken such tremendous importance in our life, and why is it that's so frightened of death. You understand? The me has come through words, through experience, through knowledge. The me, which is the form, the name, all the bundle of memories, knowledge, experience, the past, pleasures, pain, all that consciousness with its content is me. Right? Right? Please see it for yourself. You see, that's only not me. Only that's only memory, therefore it's a material process. But there is a me which is spiritual. The Hindus and others maintain, and probably some of you maintain, that there is something spiritual in me. Me is the essence of that spirit. When you say the me is the essence of that spirit, covered over by all kinds of darkness, like an onion with many, many layers, that essence of me, of the essence of the highest is me, that's still part of thinking. Right? When you feel that it is, the essence is me, that's part of your process of thought. Somebody has put it into your mind, or you have invented it yourself. I wonder if you're following all this. You may not believe it, but thought has created this. But thought is a material process. Because thought is knowledge, experience, stored up as memory in the brain, that response to that memory is thinking. We went through all that the other day. We won't go. So, thought is a material process. Though thought can say, there is spirit in me, but it is a material process. When you say, I have faith in God, it is a material process. The faith in God, God being your projection of what you think is the most beautiful, omnipotent, all the rest of it. It is still a process of thought. So, there is nothing, please bear with me, go into it very deeply, there is nothing but the movement of thought which has created the me or the essence of the spirit. It is still thought. So it is still a material process. One clings to the known and one is frightened of the unknown which is there. Right? Do you understand this? So, time is the living, a long interval, and death. We said time is a movement. Movement of thought as measure. So many lives, so many years, so many, which are all measurement. Now, can that time stop? Which means the living and the dying close together. You understand? This takes so much explanation of this. That is, death means the ending of that which has continued, right? See how important it is that which continues becomes mechanical, right? And therefore there is nothing new. Thought may invent something new, like the jet, something new, or the Einstein theory. So thought can invent something new, but we're not talking about that in invention. We are talking about thought can invent something beyond death, but it's still movement of thought. So we are saying death means the ending of a continuity, which is time. That which continues means time. Tradition in your faith, in your beliefs, in your God is movement of time. So we are saying to die to the things known now. You understand my question? To die to your attachments now, which is going to take place when you die. You understand? You understand this is really very serious. Because when we die, what takes place? The organism with its brain dies, comes to an end. The brain deteriorates. The brain which contained memory in its cells, as experienced knowledge, that brain withers away. So there is ending of thought. And can there be an ending of thought while living? You understand my question? Which is dying now, not 50 years later. Which doesn't mean you commit suicide. Don't jump over the bridge. Which means dying to your pleasure. Of course, you will die to your pain. That's very easy. That's what one wants to do, but one wants to cling to the pleasure, to the picture that you have created about pleasure and the pursuit of it. That, when the brain decays, is going to end. You understand what I'm talking? So, to die instantly to attachment, to jealousy, to fear, die. That's one problem. Therefore, when there is such death, there is then non-continuity, which means the ending of time, therefore a totally different dimension of consciousness. I haven't time to go into all that. Totally different kind of consciousness, which is not the consciousness with all its content, which is me, but a totally different kind, a dimension. Now, I don't die now. One doesn't die because one says, I must have a little more time, please. Give me a little more time. I want to enjoy my life. I've got a new car, a new wife, a new pleasure, a new job. Please don't let me die immediately. So what happens to that man or woman? Please, this is important for you to understand all this. What happens to that man or woman who says, I'm satisfied with things as they are. I've got my property. I've got a good wife, a husband, money in the bank, and help to everything else. What happens to that man when he dies? You understand my question? There are two types of beings in the world. The one who dies to everything known. The known is the structure of thought put together as the me, the attachment, the fears, the loneliness, the despair, and therefore out of despair, the hope, all that he dies. To all that he, there is instant ending. Ending of sorrow is the beginning of compassion. You think about it. Don't think about it, do it. Now what happens to the man who doesn't do all this? Who is lazy, indifferent, becomes serious about something which is trivial, or he thinks it is very important to follow a guru and all that silly stuff. What happens to that man or woman? You understand my question? Have you understood my question? There are the two types of human beings. The one who is buying every minute of the day to everything he has gathered. Therefore, he is never gathering anything. Oh, you understand? Psychologically, he is never gathering anything. Therefore, there is no me at all the time. And there is the other man. What happens to him? So what is the other man? The other man is the man, is the human being or the woman, the human being. Like every other human being in the world, he has lived in sorrow, in despair, in agony, tears, like the rest of the human beings. So there is the stream of sorrow. You understand? The stream, the river of agony, the river of pleasure, the river of violence, all that. That he's in that stream. He has always been in that stream. Right? It's only a man who steps out of the stream is different. But otherwise, he's like the rest. I know this is a sad picture. You understand? This is really a great sorrow to see this happening. Therefore, the man who sees this happening is compassionate. Therefore, his responsibility is to convey all this. You understand what I'm saying? So immortality is not me surviving it eternally till the Gabriel angel blows the horn, but there is immortality that is beyond death when time has come to an end. Time is a movement of thought and measure, which is our consciousness. When that consciousness empties itself completely, then there is a state that is totally different. The emptying of this consciousness, which is content, is part of meditation.